I'm very pleased to have with me on the phone a good friend and a wonderful cousin, Zevi Muller. Shalom, Zevi.
Hi, Charlie. It's a pleasure being with you.
Thank you. Many people who have been following your career have always been very excited as to how you're developing. During these 3 weeks, I've decided that I want to share with my listeners background and ideas from various cantors. So that's our subject for this conversation. First of all, tell us...
Oh, nice. That's a wonderful idea.
Well, thank you. How about, let's start at the beginning. How did you come into Chazanis?
Good question. The answer, I think I can break it to two parts. One is through, I got to Chazanut through davening, through listening to Nusach, going to shul every Shabbat, Friday night and morning, and always enjoying when I heard somebody that davened well, somebody that made davening interesting. I think that opened the music of Chazanut for me to enjoy. And then more formally, what we call cantorial compositions, which is a, you know, an elaboration of what I think is Nusach. This is something that I had in my family. My uncle is a well-known Chazan from Belgium. And we used to have his CDs, Cantor Benjamin Muller.
Uh-huh.
In Antwerp, Belgium.
Where were you at the time? Were you in the States?
So,
or?
Then I was in Israel. My parents at the time lived in Israel. As a
uh-huh.
teenager, I grew up in Israel.
I see. By the way, let's go back. Where were you born?
So I was born in Israel, but my parents lived in Switzerland for most of my childhood years.
Uh-huh.
All my siblings were born in Switzerland. And then at about age seven, my parents moved to Israel back. They actually moved back to Switzerland about 12 years ago. But during those years, during my teen years, I was in Israel.
I see.
I went to yeshivot in Israel, and that was where I grew up.
Uh-huh. So it was through just going to shul and listening to various chazanim?
Yeah, so that's number one. It's always, for me, chazanut was always just nusach, nice nusach, good davening. For me, was always what chazanut is and what chazanut was. But of course, I had a lot of influence also from cantors that performed cantorial compositions. And my uncle was always the door to that world. We always had these CDs playing at home. His music was the music that I knew very well. I also, of course, got to know compositions from many chazanim. My grandmother, who had a beautiful voice, she recorded a few compositions from Yossele Rosenblatt.
Really?
I remember as a child, I used to listen to those recordings and always inspired and influenced by them.
Wow. You have brothers also who are into music.
Right. So I have my oldest brother, who is a chazan at the Chal Meir in Tel Aviv, a very prestigious synagogue where Shlomo Ravitz was the cantor. Lebel Glantz was the cantor. Really prestigious shul in Tel Aviv. And I have another brother who is a cantor in Germany, in Krefeld, Germany.
He's there now?
High holidays. He's in Israel, but he's there every high holidays in Germany.
Right, his name is...
For them.
What is his name?
His name is Shmuel.
Shmuel, and your other brother?
And my older brother is Moshe.
Moshe. I know the three of you have...
And I have my younger brother, David, who's uh-huh. also, during the high holidays, he's a cantor in my father's shul in Switzerland, in Baden, Switzerland.
Wow.
He's there for the high holidays.
Wow. I know you've had some concerts where several of your brothers sang with you.
Correct, yeah. We love singing together. We actually, two brothers live in Israel, and us two, me and my younger brother, David, live here in the States. But when we get together, it's always a blast,
uh-huh.
a music blast.
that actually happened
that this coming Shabbat, we're going, three of us are going to Montreal for Shabbat Chazanut.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Where?
It's these, I don't know if the person wanted me to tell, but this one person who loves chazanut, loves pure, just pure chazanut, and he does it in his house.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be in a private house in Montreal. We go there once a year. It's always a pleasure. For me, it's the hardest Shabbat in the year to prepare for because I have to do chazanut. I can't just go and sing songs. It's real, real material compositions, but it's a real pleasure.
Is that Howard? Howard's home?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
His name is Mr. Lebowitz.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's got to be quite an experience. Wow, that's terrific.
Yeah, it is.
Well, Montreal, that's in Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay, because Toronto is where your wife is.
Toronto is where my wife is from.
Yes, yes. It was wonderful being at your wedding a few years back. Yes. So tell us how you came to be at the, prior to being at Westside Institutional, where you are now, were you davening at any other shuls?
So I was, for 2 years, I was a chazan for the High Holidays in Switzerland prior to coming here. And then at age 20, I guess, I became the chazan at Westside Institutional Synagogue here on the Upper West Side of New York. And it's always an honor, Charlie, to have you there.
Oh, well.
See you coming to that show.
It's such a pleasure. So how many years have you been there already? Oh, my gosh.
Over 8 years.
Time is really flying by. That's something. Well, I admire your shul for the commitment they've made to you because, you know, it's so difficult for chazanim to find worthwhile, shuls. Yeah, positions. And
right.
I am so pleased that you're within walking distance.
I agree. I mean, it's a compliment to some shuls and especially to Manhattan shuls. But still higher chazanim. We have here on the Upper West Side three young chazanim today that are serving in the shuls. We have at the Jewish Center, my friend Chaim David Burson, and at Lincoln Square, my friend Yanki Lemmer.
Yes.
Who is taking over chazan Sherwood Goffin's position, and it's a real pleasure to have them around. We get together and get insights from each other.
Uh-huh.
But it's a compliment to the neighborhood.
Well, you've also been at the forefront of running kumsitzes at your shul, and it's something that has always been very exciting.
That's true. Friday night, when you live on the Upper West Side, I assume people know, but Upper West Side, there are, according to some estimates, more than 5,000 frum singles. And when you have that large number of singles that they want to get together Friday night, when you do a kumsitz, you don't have to advertise much. The place is full.
really?
It's nice for our people, for our members, even if they have kids, if they're married, always enjoy the kumsitz. But you just get flooded by those singles that want to do something Friday night and want to meet other people. So definitely the Upper West Side is the place for a kumsitz.
Yes, it's very exciting being in this area. And we even get a little over to the east side, and that rounds out the picture. I mean, the upper
right.
East side and west side are really areas where Chazanus is thriving. Of course, you've got Yassi Malavani and Helfgott and Yaakov Stark and Davis and
Davis
sure, and Ozzy Schwartz. So and there's room for more, I guess. So,
right.
What are your feelings about Chazanus and its future?
Yeah, it's always a question, and it's something that we talk often about, and it's a good opportunity, I guess, to speak it over again over the radio. I think again there are two components to what we call about Chazanut and the future of Chazanut. So there is Chazanut, which is just the nusach of the davening. When we pray, we have a certain mode, a certain music formula that we use when we pray. This is something that we have inherited for centuries. It's part of the Siddur. And this can be very, very beautiful when it's done well. You know, and I know it can be very boring and frustrating at times when people don't seeing a davenet well, but it can be so nice and so interesting when people davenet the proper way with the nice intonation, with the nice feeling. So that's one part of chazanut, and I think that this part has a very, very strong future because it's part of the nusach. People many times know it from their homes. It's something that people have easy time to connect. That's one part. Then there's part of what we call cantorial compositions. And cantorial compositions is a very specific form, art form of music that I think is developed and being evolved from the Nusach of the Tfilah, but it has today, specifically with the recordings, it has its own form and its own style. Now, when we talk about this type of art form, I think that the fact is that most people, and I would say 90% of people that go to shul today, do not have an affinity or a special likening towards that music. They don't listen to this music. This is not the music they grew up with. It's not something they connect to. And in my opinion, chazanim have to be very cognizant of this fact. And when they daven in a shul, unless the people really want to have this type of cantorial compositions, they have to be very, very aware that this is not exactly the music that people like or know. So in terms of chazan, I think their responsibility when it comes to cantorial music is split to two. One is the cantor is responsible to introduce this type of music to people and hope that some people connect to it and people learn to appreciate at least some aspects of it, but at the same time not to overload the people with this music because it's just not their music.
Uh-huh.
So I think there's a very, very fine balance between using that music, but at the same time not to overload the people with the music.
Yeah, and it can be learned and acquired,
Absolutely. Absolutely. In my opinion, it's the nicest form of music. Because music has a role just to sometimes soothe the mind. You know, you sit in a car or you sit in the home and you listen to some classical music or just some what they call Hasidic Jewish music. You can enjoy it and it relaxes you. But the music that really, really penetrates your heart and talks to you, for me, is the cantorial music. It's the music that talks. It's the music that has a lot of meaning into it. So absolutely, if I can make people enjoy this music, the rewards and the satisfaction is great.
Who are some of the cantors or what are some of the cantorial pieces that are your favorites?
Good question.
That's a tough one, I know.
There are many, too many to count. But my uncle, Cantor Benjamin Muller, was always a favorite.
Yes.
I am biased, and I know that I'm biased, but it's okay. In music, you're allowed to be biased. The point is to enjoy
yes,
it.
Of course. Oh, it's interesting also, he has so many sons that also sing along with him.
Right. So he's three sons, my first cousins. All three of them are cantors in Europe. One son is the cantor in Whitefield in Manchester, Yossi. The other son, Israel, is actually the chief cantor of Europe, because he's the cantor at the Great Synagogue of Brussels.
Oh, wow.
Where the EU is seated.
Uh-huh.
And he actually recently became the chaplain of the Belgian army.
Wow.
So he's really getting involved in Belgium. And mm-hmm. then I have another cousin, Rafael, who's a cantor in Manchester as well.
Fascinating. Well, and are there other Mullers that does... Benjamin have
it's our family. My father. My father is a rabbi and a cantor in Switzerland.
Uh-huh.
And my uncle and his family. We are all involved.
Right.
Let's go back to your question.
Sure.
about favorite. So
sure.
My uncle was always just in terms of. I think it has to be also when you know the person and you understand how he expresses things. It's easier to connect. And that's one of the reasons. But to name just a few, there are so many. The label at glance, few of his pieces are really, really magnificent. He has a cantorial piece called Kol Hashem Chotzev Na'avot Esh. which we recite on Friday night, really a true piece that expresses the words, and his magnificent voice and music is just shining through those words. Yossel Rosenblatt, again, a real favorite. He's a composition that I listen a lot to, and that's Al Chait. Al Chait is about, it comes from the vidui that we say on Yom Kippur night, Yom Kippur throughout actually the day. And really, Yossel gets to the feeling of the sense of confession of the sins that we did, and he expresses it so nicely. Yossel has many pieces. Yossel has a famous piece, Meloch, also from Rosh Hashanah prayer, about defining God as our king. And the music is very aristocratic and really expresses the words of Meloch, Kol Olam Kulo B'Chavodecha, God, just be our king and rule the world through your Kavod.
By the way, your uncle is a great proponent of Rosenblatt's selections, and I have heard him sing some of those magnificently. Right. Also, you know.
Right. I mean, I guess just like me, he grew up listening to Yossel's pieces, and when you grow up with those pieces, it just stays with you.
Uh-huh. Now, just as an aside for my listeners, you have gotten your PhD, or you're working towards it?
I'm studying right now towards my PhD, but it's not music related.
No, of course, it's in what area?
It's theoretical neuroscience. I'm studying the brain.
Wow.
I'm doing some research trying to understand the brain. That's a very fascinating organ of the body that is worth learning, I think.
I know you once took me and Helen to the lab where you showed us some mice that you were. Where was that? The Rockefeller.
Right. I used to work at Rockefeller. I was a research assistant at Rockefeller. I used to work with animal models to understand the brain. But now I'm at Columbia, and I'm doing now more computational models, working with computers more within the animals, trying to understand mathematically how the brain operates and encodes information.
Wow. Fascinating. Yeah. Fascinating. Well,
yeah, I have to tell you that I just read in a Columbia University magazine, they say that more than one-third of Columbia's medical students are musicians. Somehow the easy connection between science and music, I don't know if it's explained, but the easy connection.
Interesting. Well, there's a stimulation that occurs, you know, when music touches the soul, it's touching your mind also. I mean, the mind and the soul,
right.
And music does have that way to stir within you, should reach you.
It touches you in the fullest sense of the word, that's true.
Well, you know, I've always said it's Jewish soul music. It's so unique. I don't know whether other religions have quite the font of music that can touch the listener. I mean, you know, in the churches, I guess they have, you know, the choirs and the organs and, you know, magnificent sounds, but I don't know how, in terms of individual singers, you can appreciate the music.
Especially I think because of the fact that cantorial music and Jewish music has evolved from praying, has evolved from just expressing yourself. It did not evolve from abstract modes of music and trying to make nice music. It evolved from just trying to express yourself. And I think that's the reason it's really so touching.
Well, any other thoughts about Chazanut? It's been fascinating to hear your background.
It's always a pleasure talking to you. But if I may, I'll say one thing about, not so much perhaps about Chazanut, more about Chazanim. Is that, you know, we always talk, and Charlie, you and I have these conversations, how Chazanim can be more, how can Shul have the incentive to hire more Chazanim. I think that Chazanim today need to go a little bit back to the tradition and the role that they used to hold in synagogues. Chazanim are not supposed to be just those that come and deliver the davening and go home. They need to be involved in shul. They need to be part of the shul. They need to take leadership role in the shul that they belong to. And I think if Chazanim do some of this type of work, shuls will have more incentive to hire Chazanim. And the influence that Chazanim could have through their deeds and through their music will be even larger.
I agree. Recently, just last week, I was in Teaneck. I gave a presentation at Rabbi Prasansky's shul, B'nai Yeshurun, and afterwards, there were about 100 people there. We had a little discussion. I said, you know, here you've got, well, maybe 12 or 15 Orthodox shuls, and there isn't one full-time chazan. I said, at least bring in a cantor once or twice a year. Well, they did mention that one brings in Motzin, and that Netanel lives there, and he does a concert or so. But I think every shul should almost have it as a requirement. Once, I once said, if every shul would bring in a chazan once a year, do you know how many cantors there would be, that were available and it would raise the awareness of chazanut? That's a project I think I have to work on. You know, if you want to be...
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. I would like to say that there is a misnomer. People say that Young Israel has in its bylaws that they're not allowed to hire a chazan or so. I asked once a person who read the bylaws, and he told me it's not written in the bylaws.
Oh.
So, you know, the misnomer that Young Israel was founded on the idea that no cantors can be hired, I think, is wrong.
Yes, yes. Well, and I admire the shul, West Side Institutional, for recognizing you as such a valuable asset to their service. I can't even imagine going to the shul without seeing you there and hearing your wonderful voice. Of course, my listeners know my fondness for you and your wife, and I look forward to working with you and the Chazanim and continuing to do what we can to spread the word.
And we all Chazanim, and I say it about myself, but on behalf of myself, but on behalf of many of my colleagues and my friends, we are very, very appreciative of the work that you do. Everywhere we go, you know, your name comes up as a person that, you know, holds the light of Chazanut today, that makes sure that it's present. People don't forget about it. It's through the concerts that you give, it's through the show that you do, and then it's just through all the emails that you send throughout the year about control of calendars and other updates. We are highly, highly appreciative, and I personally very appreciative of your friendship and support.
Well, it's feeling is mutual, and thank you so much for sharing these thoughts with us. And I was undertaking this. When am I going to play for the 3 weeks? And I said, you know what, I want the audience to be able to hear the voice of the Chazanim, not just in the singing, but with their ideas. And it was really wonderful speaking with you.
Yeah, wonderful idea. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Thank you so much, and regards to Chaya.
Thank you, Charlie. Regards to
Okay, shalom. Okay, yeah, we've been listening to Zevi Muller, and now let's go on to this conversation with Mordechai Sobel from Israel. Very pleased to have with me Mordechai Sobel, who is the music director of Yuval Concerts, together with the Israeli Philharmonic Orchestra, among many other things. Shalom, Mordechai.
Shalom to you and to the listeners.
Okay, thank you. I'm playing this during the 3 weeks. I thought that this would be a great time to speak to various people who are the leaders in Chazanut, and you certainly are one of the world's leaders. So how about telling my listeners, first of all, where you were born and a little bit of your history?
I was born in Israel, and I'm in Chazanut since I'm 3.5 years old. When I want to tell a joke, I say that I'm in Chazanut 2 years before I was born. because I was 3.5 years, came to Israel, Ben Zion Wittler. It was a Jewish actor and singer.
Uh-huh.
And we were living that time in Jaffa, Yafo.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't the time of having a babysitter. So when my parents decided to go to see his show, they took my sister and me with them, because where can you find a babysitter? What does it mean that parents will leave a child in strange hands? So we went to this show. And on the show, he sang two Yiddish songs, V'nemt men abisa lemazel, and Rivkale.
Mm-hmm.
You know the songs?
Yes, well, yes, I have his recordings, Benzion Wittler, yes,
yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so he sang it on this show, and when the show finishes, he received a standing ovation, and then he sang it again for an encore. This V'nemt men abisa lemazel. The show is over, and we are walking out of the hall. It was in Galron Amphitheater in Yafo. And I'm holding my father's hand, and my sister is holding my mother's hand. And I start singing, and then suddenly somebody turns over to us and says to me in Yiddish, "Oi, to sing a little thing to say shame."
Yes, so beautiful.
The child is singing so nice. And my father says to him, yeah, he sings from day to night. Always. How old are you? 3.5, 4 years. He says to me, can we go back to this auditorium, to this amphi? My father says to him, who are you? Okay, you cannot recognize me because now I look like a mensch. But I'm Benzion Wittler.
Wow.
So we went back, and he asked me to sing. I didn't know the whole text, but I sang it, la 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 la. I sang the whole song, and then he says to my father, you know what? Next week, we are again in Jaffa, but in a movie theater named Noga. Exists until today. Can I ask you to bring your son, and he will sing it with me as an anchor?
Wow.
That's how I started with Benzion Miller.
Wittler, yes.
Benzion Wittler.
Yes.
And since then, I drive Meshuge, my parents, to take me. I want to study Chazanut. I didn't like so much to sing Yiddish songs and Hebrew songs as Chazanut. That time when my father saw that he has a crazy son, he bought me a gramophone.
Yes.
One like you have. I saw your gramophone.
Yes, yes.
And with a million records. And I was sitting and listening to Rosenblatt, to Hirschman, to Kosevitsky, to Quartin, to Shore, mm-hmm. to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And study the stuff. One day I said to my father, I want to study, not just to listen and to sing from the records. So my father said, I tried to find out, and then he came with an answer that there is in Tel Aviv a great chazan teacher, his name is Shlomo Ravitz.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, we'll take a bus and go to Tel Aviv, and we'll see what he thinks. We came to Shlomo Ravitz. He left this time in Kremia Street, Shderot Rothschild, Rothschild's street. Says to me, sing something to me. And then I sang, Modim Anachnu Lach, that we say it's Mordechai Hirschman, but the matter of fact, this is Eliyahu Schnapelinsky, and the second half is Rappaport. And when I sang it to him, he started crying, gave me a kiss in my head, and tells my father and me that Mordechai Hirschman was his student.
Really?
Yeah, so he says to my father, now I have two Mordechais.
I love
one
that.
One is Mordechai Hirschman, and now I have Mordechai Sobol. And he started calling me Motale. He loved me very much.
Mm-hmm.
What can I tell you, Charlie? This was a time that I was not 4 years. I was at the time 8 years old. And I started going by bus myself from Gvul Bat Yam, Jibiliya is the side of Jaffa, until Tel Aviv, the south of Tel Aviv, where Bet Knesset Bilu is in Oel Shem, and where today is located the Man Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
The center of Tel Aviv today, that time it was the south of Tel Aviv.
Yes.
And I went to him twice a week, Sunday and Wednesday. To tell you how much he loved me, that sometimes he asked me to come Thursday too. But Thursday. It was afternoon, and I have Friday, I have to go to school. So the arrangement was that I'm bringing my stuff to go to school with me. I slept over the night with Shomo Ravitz. He took me in the morning, 7 a.m., to the bus who is going back to Jaffa to my school.
Wow.
And when I was sleeping in his house, every night that I was sleeping there, he brought me a cup with milk and a piece of chocolate before I'm going to sleep.
Oh, what a story.
This was the time of Shlomo Ravitz.
Wow.
On the age of 15 and a half.
Oh, but did you recorded before you were 15?
Yes, I was one of four wonder kids of Israel at the 60s. It was Chaim Eliezer Herschtik, Yoshua Kempinski, Pinchas Brown, and me.
Mm-hmm.
I was the youngest between them. So we were four kids. We turned over this country from the north to the south, from east to west, with concerts as kids. And our pianist, we had two pianists. One was Dr. Hanan Vinternitz. And when he was busy, we had Leon Graf.
With the organ?
With what?
He played the organ a lot on the...
No, he played piano.
A piano?
He played organ just when he had to play on a place without a piano.
Oh, okay.
But he was a pianist.
Uh-huh.
And we had concerts in the kibbutzim. This was a miracle. Non-religious kibbutzim and non-religious places like Kfar Vitkin. And we went up till Metula and Nahariya and down until Eilat.
Wow.
With concerts in Be'er Sheva with Ashkenazic and Sephardic audience.
Interesting.
And we had wonderful concerts. At that time, or before it, in the middle of this period of time, Chaim Eliezer Herschtik and Kempinski and Brown recorded records.
By the way, I have all their records and yours. Yes.
All the four?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I've played... I have listeners who love to hear those recordings. I have to play them again. Yes.
You see, Chaim Eliezer Herschtik, he was the real Kosevitsky. And he sang, I remember Moshe Kosevitsky saying to the audience in the Halat Abud in Tel Aviv, you see, this child, Chaim Eliezer Herschtik, you know what the difference between us is? He sings the same stuff that I sing, but he sings it much better.
Oh, wow.
This is Kosevitsky saying about Herschtik, about Chaim Eliezer.
Interesting, interesting.
Yeah. So, because they had the recordings, and all the recordings were recorded in a company, let me recall, it doesn't exist today anymore. I think, yeah, I remember. The name was Makolit.
Mm-hmm.
Makolit.
Yes.
And this company approached my father and they offered him to record my record. They invested the money and they gave that time to us 50% of the sailings, which was a good deal.
Yes.
And I recorded the record. The first one was Renaud Fila. If you have, as you have, so you have this recording too.
Yes, how old were you then when you recorded
I that? Was that time 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later I recorded another record. But that time I was already so deep in Chazanut with Ravitz that, by the way, you know that Ravitz was against recordings.
No.
Yes. He was the part of four cantors in his time, Pini Minkowski, Eliezer Gurovich, Boruchlei Brazovsky, and him, that they were against Rosenblatt, against Sirota, and they boycott all the cantors who recorded.
Why?
Why? Because they said that records are being played in all the not proper places for Jewish things.
Tefillot, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
You hear me?
Yes, that's something.
So that's what he did. And when I, when Herschtick, Kempinski, and Brown, which were, Brown not, but Herschtick and Kempinski were also students of Shlomo Ravitz, when they came to him and said that they want to record, he said, okay, go and record. When I came, he said, no. I said, why no? Because you are my student. You are my real student. And I boycott the recordings, and I don't want you to record. And I didn't record. Until Ravitz came one day to me and said, it was the owner of Makolit came to my house and told me that time changed and they must record you so it will live forever.
Wow. Yes.
And then he gave me permission to record the record.
What a great story.
More than this, on one of the days that I made a rehearsal with Leon Graf, that he is my accompaniment in this record, he came with me to his house to listen how I'm singing, especially Rachem Noav Shmuel Weiser, that he wrote it, and Ravitz corrected this piece that Shmuel Weiser wrote and sent it back to Shmuel Weiser, and it was printed like Ravitz wanted. So he came to the rehearsal with him, said what he had to say and to correct, and then the day of the recording in the studios, he came with me. He was sitting the whole evening when I recorded this record. I said that my accompaniment was piano with Leon Graf.
Graf, yeah.
Except one number, Shalom Alechem, that's the number who opens up this record, which I composed. And in the studio, I'm playing the piano and singing.
Fantastic.
Okay, then let's jump when I'm 15 and a half. Ravitz came with an offer to my father that on this age, 15 and a half, exactly like his age when he started, he wants me to be the chazan for high holidays in Ohel Shem Tel Aviv. And he's going to conduct the choir with 40 people. My father said, 15 and a half, Ayingale. How come Ayingale will be a chazan? He said, that's the same age that I took the position in Kharkov. And it was like this. I studied with him more than half a year, the Musafim and Ma'ariv for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Ne'ile, and I was the chazan there. I will take some time and send you by mail the flyer that says the youngest cantor on the world with the oldest conductor on the world.
I love it. I love
it. He was 93 years old when he conducted the choir.
What year was would that be? When
this was not only for 1 year. I didn't know El Shem until I went to the army. Charlie, are you there?
Yes, yes. I was. What year did?
I have a noise here on the line.
It's on your phone. But what year did you?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? Okay.
Hello.
Yes. I'm sorry, there was a slight problem with the phone. Mordechai, my question was, what year was that you davened for the High Holidays?
It was 67, and I davened as a boychik of 15 and a half.
Okay.
In Ohel Shem Tel Aviv. And I have a flyer that I will send it by mail to you that says, High Holidays in Ohel Shem Tel Aviv, the youngest cantor on the world with the oldest conductor on the world.
Great, great. I look forward to seeing that.
And Ravitz was 93, 94 years old, conducted the 40-piece choir, male choir, of course, and kids. I was a cantor in this Ohel Shem until I went to the army. The age of 18. I went 18 and a half. So 3 years I was chazan in Ohel Shem Tel Aviv. I want to tell you that my last year when I was before I went to the army, in this choir of Ohel Shem, Ravitz went before the High Holidays, he went to the Opera House in Tel Aviv and took a few singers from there also to support his choir. One of the singers in this choir was Placido Domingo.
Really? Oh my
yeah.
God! Wow.
That was the singer in the Israel Opera. And one of the nice anecdotes that I tell is that on Simchat Torah, when there is a minhag that everybody gets an aliyah, the Gabbe went over to Placido Domingo and says to him, Yamoid. So he says to him, I'm not Jewish.
That's quite a story, yes.
He remembers this until today.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then I went to the army, and I was a soldier in Golani unit. Was sitting on the Suez Canal. In the middle of the service, you know that in Israel you serve 3 years.
Yes.
In the middle of the service, came for a visit Rabbi Goren. He was the chief rabbi of IDF. He knew me from the time I was a child. And he says to me, what are you doing here? I said, what do you mean? I'm serving here. No. I need you for my choir that I have, the rabbinical choir. I said that I'm here in Golani. He said, okay, take your stuff. You are coming back with me from Suez with my helicopter, and I will arrange everything. I'm looking on my commander, and he says to me, listen, you can't say nothing. It's a high rank of the army. He says, go with him. We landed in Tel Aviv. He says to me, you have 2 days off, then come to my office in the headquarters of the army, and I'll tell you what to do. When I came there, all the papers were signed to transfer me from Golani to the rabbinical choir. So I served in the rabbinical choir under the leadership of Menashe Levran.
Was Ari Brown
no,
a successor?
No, before his time. The cantor was Avram Carmel.
Oh, okay, Carmel. Yes.
Ari Brown came later. I wasn't in the choir already. It it was later.
Were there recordings? Because I have many recordings.
Yes. You have a recording. The record is Manavu Alearim, which I sing there two solos on this recording. It's a double record. You will see it.
Okay.
On the Marc Chagall windows in the Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem. That's the cover.
Okay, I have to go through.
And we serve together with a few nice boychikles. One of my friends at that time until today is Dudu Fischer,
mm-hmm.
and with him Cantor Avi Albrecht. If you will take this record, you see the pictures. You will see nice young boychikler.
Okay,
soldiers.
Albrecht and Dudu and you. Wow. Okay.
One more, but he passed away. His name was Menachem Hollander, Moni Hollander. He passed away in New York a few years ago. I don't know if you are familiar with the name.
That I'm not. Did he record? Because it doesn't sound familiar.
Yes, he has also a record.
Okay.
The matter of fact, on his record, I'm playing the piano.
Uh-huh. So then what happened after the your service in the Army?
After the service in the Army, I got married. This was in 75 with my wife Yona, and we have four children. The oldest is Ophir,
mm-hmm.
which is a musician, a conductor, a composer. He's today my boss.
I love that. The other three children, are they involved in music?
They all have a good ear for music, and they love music. But my second boy is one of the big brains in SanDisk, in the company SanDisk, the American-Israeli company. And he's more sitting in the aircraft, in the airplanes of El Al, than on one place in Tel Aviv.
Uh-huh.
He flies back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter Hila, which was the secretary and speaker of Chaver HaKnesset, of Knesset Knesset member Slomyansky, is today also in America for a year. The one who stole her from Israel is a small company named Intel.
Wow. Yes. That's something.
And my youngest boy, my Mijinik, he's out of the army almost 2 years, and he studies in Bar-Ilan University, computers.
I feel
very bad that I don't understand what he says to me.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful family, really. And Ophir, certainly, he's at the forefront today in the world of chazanot and music. By the way,
Ophir today is the music the music director and conductor of the rabbinical choir of the army, and is the conductor and music director of the cantor, the chief cantor of the Israeli Defense Force.
Abramson?
Yes.
Sure. Uh-huh. I didn't realize...
You know how life went?
Yes. You got married in 75, was it? Okay, and you were still producing and recording.
I finished the academy in Tel Aviv, and Professor Bar Zimra made a nice contact with Professor Schindler in the United States, and at that time I was one of the main arrangers and conductors for the Hasidic music in Israel. I made something like 6, 7, 8 records a year as a music director and conductor and arranger. For all the Hasidic parts, like Gur and Radomsk and Koydenov and Nadvorne and Bobov. And I must give a big jump because this is very interesting. When I was in the top of the ladder with all the recordings and records, one day comes to my office in Bnei Barak, I left this time, a man named Shmuel Gutfarb. This was in 85. And he says to me in Hebrew, listen, you are a good musician, a very popular musician, but I need you to make money. I said, I need myself also to make money.
Yeah, that's rare.
And then he started to explain himself. He said, I am the chairman of the circle of friends of the military hospital Asaf HaRofe. I said, okay, nice meeting you. So we need money to go out of the barracks and to start building buildings and to buy equipment, medical equipment, and you are going to raise the money for us. I said, fine, I don't know how to do it. I never raised money, not for me, not for anybody else. He says to me, I want you to make concerts that the money will be only for one purpose, for us. So I said to him, you know what? If you will be able and willing to make cantorial concerts, I have interest. Because that time, the Chazanut went so down here in Israel that nobody listened to Chazanut or wanted to have a Chazan in Israel. So he says to me, I'm going back to the manager, managing director of the hospital, and I will come back to you tomorrow. And he came back and said, okay, we are ready to make a concert next year. What do you need? You know, I was in shock. I didn't know even what to ask. So I said to him, to listen to a canto with a piano crying for 2 hours, I'm not sure that people will come. But maybe we'll build a small orchestra for it. He says, okay, how much is a small orchestra? I said, 12 musicians. He says, okay. Who is going to sing? I said, I'm going to find out. I really don't know. Give me a week, two, and I will know. But the rumors went around, and one day I received a telephone call from a man named Milkin. That's not the same Milkin that you know the family name.
Uh-huh.
Milkin in Israel.
Okay.
And he says to me, you know, you serve together with my nephew in the army. He wants to be a chazan. Take him, study with him a little bit, learn him one or two pieces of chazanut, and let him perform on your concert for Asaf HaRofe. And I will donate $500 for Asaf HaRofe, $500 to him, and $500 for you. I said, fine. You see, I'm already a rich man. I have $500 for doing nothing yet. Who was this person, Charlie?
I'm trying to guess. I can't imagine.
Dudu Fischer.
Dudu, oh.
So I studied with him the three first numbers that he knew in Chazanut. One was Ava Rachamim of Pinchik. The other one was Tier from Kvartin. And the other one was Ratzei of Schlossberg. Three numbers. And they were the number that he sang on this concert. And then comes to me another phone call. And he says to me, I'm speaking from the Chevra Kadisha in Tel Aviv. My name is Waxman, and I want to come to you. And don't tell me not, because it's very dangerous. I'm in the Chevra Kadisha. He comes over to my office, and he says to me in Yiddish, my Adem, my son-in-law, Meintar is a chazen, thinks that he's a chazen. I want you to take him to the concert that I heard yesterday in between Minchah and Maariv that you are going to have. And you know, up front I'm telling you, I will donate $500 to Safar Rofe Hospital, and I will pay him his airfare. Are you ready? I said, I never, let me hear him. I don't know who is this item of yours. He says to me, I have a cassette. And he gave me a cassette tape. A cassette tape, yeah. I put it in the machine, and I hear a chazan. So special. Terrific. What a voice. What a coloratura. What a krechts. What neshume. I said, right away, okay, I'll take him. No, nobody knows the name in Israel, but I'll take him. Who is this chazan, Charlie?
I can't even begin to guess.
Ben-Zion Miller.
Ben-Zion Miller. Oh, wow. Oh. What a great story that is.
Yeah, oh. And then, no, the story starts now. And then I had a dream to see and to hear here on our stages in Israel, Kentor Tzvi Aharoni from Florida.
Right.
I love the singing, and he knew me as a child. So I pick up a telephone to him. It's not this time to pick up a telephone. You know, in the 80s, you have to wait a half day until you have a line.
I know.
To call America.
I remember.
And then I said to him, Tzvi, Mordechai Sobol. Oh, Mordechai Sobol, with the voice of a great man, of a big man, not as a child. I said, yes, what is it? I say, I know that you are singing your chazan in Florida, but I'm going to have a concert with a small orchestra in Tel Aviv, in Oil Shem Tel Aviv. And the money, it's a benefit concert, the money goes to Asaf HaRofe Hospital. And the project is named Aliza Begin, Menachem Begin's wife. He says to me, oi, I want so much to come. But I cannot. I said, why? I didn't say when is the date. Why can't you come? He says to me, when I was in my young age, I was one of the Etzel members under Menachem Begin. And there is a prize on my head until these days from the Britain Queen.
Really?
And I cannot leave United States. To go out of the United States because I'm afraid to do so. Did you hear about it, Charlie?
I'm listening. This is incredible.
Incredible. So I said to him, okay, let me check 1 or 2 days and I will get back to you. I closed the phone with him and I'm calling Yechiel Kadishai. He was the secretary of Menachem Begin. And I said to him, I have to see Menachem Begin very, very urgent. I'm telling him the story. He says to me, take a taxi. Where are you? I'm in Neibach. Take a taxi. Come to Tel Aviv. And because in a half an hour, he will have 6 minutes to sit down with you. I'm getting into the room with Menachem Begin. He says to me, and with Yechiel Kadishai, of course. And he says to me, okay, what can I do for you? I said to him, Mr. Begin, you know about the concert? Yes, I know. So I said, I want to bring a cantor from Florida, and the story is this and this. He says to me, baloney, bullshit. There is no cantor that was in the Etzel under me. Don't tell him. Tell him not to tell you stupid stories. I can't help. I said to him, wait. I will tell you what was his name that time. He had a nickname, like everybody in the Etzel.
Mm-hmm.
He says, what was his nickname? I said, his nickname was Hirsch. Begin catches puts two hands on his head and says, oi, Hirsch is alive?
Oh, my God.
Hirsch is alive?
What a story.
I said, and Hirsch is a chazan? I said, yes, he's a cantor in Florida. And he would like to come to the project that is named Aliza Begin, but he's afraid to leave United States because of it. He said to me with a posik, Kaze re'e ve'kadesh. Listen to me. I will arrange the two Mossad agents will go to the United States to his house. They will bring him to Israel, and they will return with him to the United States. And he says to me the pasuk from that Judah said to Jacob before they went down to Egypt. Anochi ervenu miyadi tevakshenu. Tell him that that's what I said. Charlie, this was exactly the story what happened. They brought him to Israel, he sang on the concert, and they took him back to the United States.
What an incredible... I'm crying. I can't believe it's such a great story.
And wow. What Yechiel Kadishai did after this, he contacted the British government, and he canceled the prize on his head. But he took a half a year after the concert. So, ask me how was the concert.
Go ahead. How is the concert?
This was the first concert in Israel with an orchestra.
Uh-huh.
I had three cantors, three aroni, Ben Zion Miller, Dudu Fischer, a clarinet player named Zohar, and I worked almost a year of writing arrangements for the orchestra. This was full days that I worked. At night, I took all the posters with my wife. She took water and flour, put together, and I went to put up the posters on walls in Tel Aviv and in Ramat Gan and Petah Tikva, wherever I could. At night, 2 o'clock in the night, I didn't want people to see and recognize me. So that's what I did. And the Asaf Rofer Hospital sold tickets, or tried to sell tickets. Okay, the evening of the concert is now, we are getting into Ohel Shemet Tel Aviv, 900 seats. In the hall I see 150 people. I believe that 100 people is my family.
Oh.
Asaf Rofer Hospital lost $5,000 this evening. It was a wonderful concert, but it was a
failure. Financial failure.
Failure.
Yes.
The day after, I say to my wife, after a concert like this, I can't find a place for myself. I must go to Asaf HaRofe Hospital. I drove to Asaf HaRofe Hospital, and I come to the main office. The secretary sees me, knew it, and said, Mordechai, what are you doing here? I said, I must talk to Dr. Varon. She says, he is busy the whole day. What happened? I can tell you, I'm sitting here. I believe that he is not an angel, so he will have to go out of his room to the bathroom. Then I will catch him. I waited for 2.5 hours sitting next to his door. The door opens up. He is in the door. Mordechai, what are you doing here? I said, I need 20 seconds of yours. He says, come in. What is the problem? I said, I know that you lost $5,000 this evening. He says, okay. I said, I cannot live in peace with myself. So please, I want to pay this money. I will pay you every month $500 in, or a little less, and in a year I will finish this $5,000. He says to me, "Are you crazy? I will let you pay. You did a wonderful concert. We have to find out how to sell tickets for Chazanut, because I see that nobody wants to come. But after this concert that you had yesterday night, I'm sure that there is a market for it. Can you suggest something to me?" I said, "If you are not going to kill me, I will say something." He says to me, "Say." I say, "We had a hall of 900 seats. Let's take the Man Auditorium in Tel Aviv, 3,000 seats. He said, "Okay, and what?" And I said to him, "There is today still alive in South Africa, Simcha Kosevitsky. Let's bring him to Israel, and we'll make a salute concert to the Kosevitsky family. Maybe this talks to people. And I will take a few chazonim, and we will have to make a bigger orchestra, not 12 musicians. I don't want to be very brutal, but I will ask for 18 to 20 musicians." He said, "80 musicians, how much will it cost?" I said, "The experience of the last concert is that it will cost, you know, uh-huh, it's money."
Right.
He says to me, "You know what? Let's do it." I said, "How come you do it so fast?" He says to me, "You see, I have from day to night people coming here and trying to convince me how to make money for the hospital, and I'm always losing money. You gave me a way up front to lose money. So maybe I will have a surprise and will not lose money on this concert." So a year later we had a concert and they made $10,000 profit. And since then we had a yearly concert.
Uh-huh.
And we bought a lot of equipment. If you go today to the hospital, to Asaf Rofe Hospital, you cannot recognize this hospital. But if you go to the heart department, to the oncology department, to the baby department, you will see all the medical equipment was raised by Cantorial Concert Director and Conductor Mordechai Sobol.
I love it.
So in 1990, I said the Chazanut cannot live in between walls of a hospital. And then I established the non-profit organization Yuval.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, to make a long story short, since then we have 5 concerts a year in the Man Auditorium. For the last 8 years with the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra, 80 musicians. And Charlie, you were on our concert that we had in June.
Yes, it was magnificent. I loved it.
And you saw this big and wonderful orchestra.
Yes. And you saw the choir. The choir was...
You saw the choir. Yes. You saw the people in the audience.
Yes.
In the hall.
Yes.
We have 1,800 subscribers for the 5 concerts. In top of it, we have another 8 to 10 concerts around the country,
mm-hmm,
mostly in the summertime, in all the cities, except Tel Aviv.
Uh-huh.
And from time to time, I conduct in Poland, I conduct in France, I conduct in the United States. We were together involved in 3 concerts that I had with the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, and I have concerts with Cleveland, with Baltimore, with Chicago. I had concerts, and I have concerts in Toronto. I have concerts in Australia. This year we are going to have a concert in Beijing.
In Beijing?
Which is known as a Cantorial Lovers audience.
Come on. Really? I love it.
You see, Basayo from China, uh-huh, Beijing, was contact me for half a year, and I didn't answer because I thought that this is a joke. suddenly he was here in Israel for a meeting with the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra.
Wait, who is this?
The impresario from Benjin.
Oh, okay. Okay. Uh-huh.
So he calls up to my secretary, wants to meet me, but when I heard that he's here with the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra, I knew that it's not a joke. Uh-huh. I met him. He says to me, "We would like to have a concert with you, with our Philharmonic Orchestra." I said, "What type of concert?" He says to me, "Chazanut and Yiddish and Ivrit."
Oh.
Like you hear. I said, "What do you understand in Chazanut and Yiddish?" He says to me, "Let me ask you a question." And this was the answer. Like all the Jews, I'm answering with a question. If we have a concert of opera, do we understand Italian or French? No. We understand in the beauty of the music. So we would like to have a concert in Beijing. And this is going to happen March 16.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
It's a story, huh?
Oh, yes. Really. By the way, when Benny and I were running Cantor's World, you really did some magnificent concerts with us. They were memorable, really, really were.
Thank you very much. And I remember now that we had the Shabbat. You remember in New Jersey,
yes.
In a hotel.
Yes. Yes.
So we had a choir, a pickup choir from New York.
Uh huh.
That we had 1.5 rehearsals with them. And it was a wonderful Shabbat with the Helfgott, and I believe it was with Motzen, no?
Mm-hmm.
The Shabbat.
Yes.
Motzen and
those Shabbatons were wonderful. Somehow we have to get them back again. They're very special. They are really very special.
Yeah, but to arrange concerts and to arrange Shabbatot, this I say for concluding my interview with you,
uh-huh.
is that to have nice concerts and nice Shabbatot, arranging them good, you need only two mishigoim, two crazy people. When you have the crazy people, it works. When you had there Benny Rogoznitsky and Charlie Bernhardt, it worked. When I had Max Shapiro in Florida, it worked.
Uh-huh.
If you stop it and you cannot find a replacement for the crazy people, everything is going down. So please, Charlie, and the same thing I said to Benny, be crazy again. Be not crazy, be Mishugi again and do it.
Oh, wow. Yes. We talk all the time. You say, we don't know, you know, we dream about it, but look, dreams come true sometimes. You know?
Right.
Well, Mordechai, this was such a great, great story. I mean, this interview, I believe this is not an interview, this is a schmooze. I appreciate so much your taking the time to share these this history of your life, and I hope you have many, many more years of success with all your endeavors, because it's keeping Chazanus alive, to say the least, and it should just go with good health for many, many more years.
Thank you very much, and regards to all the listeners.
Okay, thanks again.
Shana Tova to you all.
Thank you so much.